Louis Sines guest hosts this edition of El Paso Primetime.
And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. And today we have as our guest, we have a colleague, Sherry Lowell Lewis. She is a professor here in the communication department at the University of Texas at El Paso. She's also an experienced actress on stage and also on the airwaves. And we're visiting also with UTEP alum Marie Rose, who has just come out with a book, Swoosh. And it's illustrated by Susan Lee, and it's in English and in Spanish, available on Audible in audiobook, audible.com, and also available at Amazon or any other place that you select the book. But it's a great book. It's very colorful. And they, when we interviewed them before, they talked about the fact that it's kind of based after Vincent van Gogh. And I think your child will really enjoy this. And parents, you'll probably be so amazed that before you start reading it, your child's going to say, Mom, can we get on with the book, or can we read it? Are you going to look at these pictures? So it's very good. And Marie, thank you very much for joining us from L.A.
Thank you for having me.
And Sherry, thank you for joining us again.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, we're talking about this book, Swoosh. And so we'll start, first of all, with Marie, who wrote the book. Marie, how did this idea come about?
Well, this idea came about actually a few years ago, and I only recently got around to writing it, as is often the case. Writers let ideas percolate for a while. But I was working at Disney, and a colleague of mine saw my big old script bag, which I would carry scripts around, because I was working with the Buena Vista Motion Picture Group to help develop films, and I would have to carry around big old lugged scripts. And I had this amazing rainbow-colored carpet bag. And he said, that looks like something I could fly to the moon in. And, you know, my rainbow rocket. And that kind of sparked the initial idea. And from there, I had already written one children's book that was published, and I was looking for another idea. And as soon as you said that, I thought, well, that is actually exactly what my child's imagination would have done, my own imagination as a child. And from there, I just started noodling ideas and came up with the story.
Some authors have told me that children's books are sometimes a lot more difficult to write than is a 400 to 500 page novel.
I would have to agree. It's got its own special, delightful challenges. Children are more story sophisticated than they've maybe ever been before, with all of the screens in their faces from the time they're little. So they definitely need to be catered to, not talked down to, not condescended to. You have to speak on their level, but also challenge them and get their little minds and imaginations sparking.
As far as plot, there have been many children's books written, everything from elephant stories, fables, and of course now we're seeing a lot of stories about the future and space age, and child's imagination is just incredible. Is it difficult to get to the next page and get that next thought across? Because you want to be thinking like the child, and at the same time you don't want to make it too complicated or too easy.
Well, writing is rewriting, as I think it was Faulkner who said, and so getting to the next page is hard for me because nothing is more frightening to a writer than a blank page. So once you fill it with words, turning to the next blank page is a little intimidating. So you want them to want to stay on the first page and just keep revising it, because it's a little bit easier to refine than it is to create new material from whole cloth. But you do push yourself forward, and usually one idea begets another, and before you know it, you've got a whole string of ideas that if you mold them and shape them, hopefully will turn out to be an enjoyable story time for everybody, not just kids, because adults often have to read the same book over and over, especially if the child says, oh, read it again, which you hope as a writer is going to happen. But you don't want the adults in the equation to roll their eyes and say, do I have to? And luckily, we've been really blessed with a lot of great parents or readers who've given us feedback saying, this was fun for me to read more than once. Thank you for writing it that way.
And the child knows if you're taking shortcuts.
Oh, yes. And they will question things. They will, you know, absolutely want to know, so are there really moon men with 15 fingers? Or they'll call you out on some things like that. And you'll say, no, that's just part of the story. But there really is a moon, and there really are craters. so that they do tell the difference very easily between fact and fiction, which I mingle both in Bush.
One of the interesting things that you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, and we are going to get to Sherry in just a minute, you mentioned that some of the reviewers of this book are homeschool moms, and their homeschooling has really caught on, and there's a big section of homeschooling mothers here in the El Paso area. In fact, my children were homeschooled. And so tell us a little bit about homeschooling and writing for books for children. I mean, children are children, but did you get any other emphasis or remarks from the homeschooling mothers as far as this book?
Well, in this book, the illustrations, as I think I mentioned before, are, or you did, Vincent Van Gogh inspired from his palette with the lush, you know, paintbrush strokes and the bright, vivid colors. And because it's got an outer space element, I did try to model it with the illustrator, Susan Lee, who did a fabulous job on this. She painted it all traditional oil painting, which you find a lot of books today, just to segue a little bit, which are all digital Photoshop type of graphic arts. But this is traditional paint, and it's a little harder to do these days to publish that, to get it all right. But we felt it was worth it because Van Gogh is one of my favorite painters. And we had a homeschool mom who is very particular about what resources she used. And she told me that she wanted to use the book as part of her sections for her kids that she was teaching on Vincent Van Gogh. So she was using it as an art book, whereas another mom was using it as a science instruction tool just because it got her son really interested in outer space for the first time. Suddenly he wanted to Wikipedia and Google all the planets, and he was so excited. And that's the biggest gift an author can get, is if they've inspired a young mind to start thinking broadly and outside of their normal box.
We mentioned at the beginning of the interview that this book is in audio. It's available in print. It's available as an ebook, but it's also available in Spanish. What made you decide to make it available in Spanish?
Well, I believe, and I think Sherry agrees, that there is a large market of the population who might be underserved in some of our books in bookstores today. We're not they don't have the same wide selection in Spanish that we have in English. And I think that children, especially bilingual ones, who are being raised with both English and Spanish, deserve and want to be able to read stories that they like in either language, because they can. And I think it's an important aspect. So when we were looking at possibly translating, I thought, of course, of Sherry, who's a longtime friend and colleague. We've collaborated on other projects. And I know that she's an amazing voice actress and actress, and also that she has beautiful, beautiful Spanish, which I don't have. And she was able to bring so much to the table as far as her beautiful narration and her on-point translation. I couldn't have asked for more.
And what a perfect segue, as you mentioned that right now. Sherry is here sitting with me, as I mentioned, one of my colleagues, Sherry Lowell Lewis, one of our professors in the communication department. And Sherry, you read the Spanish part for Audible, the audiobook, but you also translated this. When you first got the book from Marie and you were told to translate it, from looking at the book and reading the book, there are certain things here that some people say, well, gosh, that would be really hard to translate, or how do I keep the same excitement that is in English by translating to Spanish? So tell us how you went about this.
I have had an experience of finding some really bad translations. I was teaching a theater class, and I had students go to the bookshelves and come back to me with copies of the Greek play Medea. And the character of Medea in Greek tradition is, she's vicious and angry and hurt, and all of that, I believe, should come out in the reading of the script. And most of my students were bringing me translations that I, okay, fine. And then one student handed me this and said, is this the Medea you want? And I started reading it, and I looked at that. It really struck home for me that what a translator can do to ruin a good piece of literature. And I've been very careful ever since when I'm asked to translate, even if it's usually I translate things that are much drier. I do voiceovers, and I do readings for computer training. And sometimes I'm asked to translate those scripts from English into Spanish, and they're very dry. And that's less of a challenge than this was. This much shorter book, but so rich in its descriptions and descriptiveness and so lush that I wanted to maintain that sense of lushness as I translated it from English into Spanish. I wanted it to keep that, the beauty of it, and be true to the English, but it comes out as its own little piece in Spanish.
And when you got the book or the copy, did you have the script and or also the wonderful pictures as well?
Marie has been posting pictures of this on Facebook for some time. So as the project continued, she'd post a new picture. So I've been seeing the artwork for some time just because we're friends, and not just on Facebook, but on Facebook. And so I had already had a sense of the flavor of it and the richness of it, the real lush tapestry that comes out. So that when she asked me to translate it, I felt like I was familiar with the visible part of it. I just hadn't read the script part yet. So when she sent that, it was easy for me to see in my mind's eye how the pictures would probably look that went with it. Even though I couldn't necessarily see the exact picture that was going to end up in the final product, I had a sense of the kind of really rich Van Gogh-esque depth of color and brightness of color and the beautiful contrasts, those things for which that particular painter was famous, combined with Marie's very, very clever and beautiful and sweet portrayal of this story of this child who, in his imagination, takes a trip throughout the whole solar system.
Now, we've had, we have friends, and we ourselves have done it, where we read stories to our children, or we may read something in class, and it depends on who's reading it. So, you know, if you have a father or a mom who's just like, oh, let's get this over with, once upon a time, there were three little pigs, and the child's going, oh, gosh, daddy. So tell us tell our audience, how do you get worked up for this? How do you read it to you know, get that child excited? Because when they're listening to audio, it's completely different. It's also completely different from when you're sitting there with that child in the book, because with a book, you can make faces and looking at them. But when it's audio, it's just audio, period.
There is a difference. It's the difference between, say, doing something on stage and reading it for an audio production, probably because both Marie and I have a strong background in theater, that we understand that sense of the presentational aspect of it, that the enormity of that you can provide in using the rich colors and the big gestures and so on that you could do on stage have to be somehow translated into an audio form, into just the sounds that you hear. And it's a challenge, but I think it's one that when you've had experiences, both of us have, you're able to do it. You pull it out of yourself and create that sort of sense of character. I know when I was doing the recordings for this, the person who was helping me by managing all the little dials and switches as I read was looking at me a couple of times, kind of looking at me funny. He's used to me doing the drier stuff. And so when I got into this story, I was sitting on the edge of my chair, and I was gesturing, and I was smiling, and he was getting a big kick out of watching me do this because it was so different from what he's used to.
You go crazy.
More effusive, you might say, anyway.
There's
a
reason we have a padded walls here in the studio.
I wondered about that.
Okay. Bouncing off the walls.
That's right. Correct.
Marie, from your standpoint as an author, you know what you want delivered. You know what you have in your story. But we all have a different perspective. We all have a different frame of reference. So what this story can mean to someone can mean something completely different to somebody else. So the reader, the narrator, is very important. So tell us about the English and Spanish narration of this
book. Well, for this particular book, because it's a bedtime story, which is meant to be spoken aloud, I thought it could be read a couple of different ways with the same kind of interest. One is more of a quiet, you know, the English edition is of Audible, is more of a quiet, calming bedtime story to settle kids down, but still give them something fun to dream about. The Spanish edition, I just think with the dramatic flair and more of the excitement and that Sherry's voice brings to it is equally a valid read. And I like the fact that we can have counterpuntal sounds going on at the same time, because my partner, Chris Chamberlain, we formed Chamberlain Rose Productions, and he's the one who's helping me get all the books, you know, ready and engineered. And he created some awesome spacey type music for both Audible editions, as well as some sound effects, which I also did a lot of the sound effects for, meaning I was the Mean Green Martian, or I was also the Moon Men that you might hear chattering in the background. And
I did do, I did do a quieter version of it in Spanish and emailed it to you, and you came back and said, well, why don't you go ahead and give it a little more kick? So I kicked it up a notch or four or five.
Yeah, and she took the booth direction like a pro. But just for the Spanish one, it just sounded so much richer and grander with Sherry's beautiful Spanish. So we opted to do that sort of experience for the Spanish edition.
But we do experiment, and I think that's part of maybe what you're asking about, is you do it different ways to see which ones fit, which ones work best for what you've got. And for me, the inspiration for me with all the rich colors and the beautiful imagery that's created in the artwork certainly inspired me to be more bigger in doing it, the audio version. I just really felt it needed it to match it.
That's part of the fun of the audiobook, is you can actually see the story as someone is narrating, if they're doing their job right. And that was kind of a fun quote from a long time ago. I can't remember who said it, but when TV was first, pardon me, coming into the picture, an interviewer asked a child, which do you like better, radio or TV? And he said, radio, because the pictures are better. And that just goes to show a child that there's nothing a child's imagination can't do.
Yes, that's incredible. In fact, that's a quote that's used in the documentary, Ken Burns documentary, Empires of the Air.
There you go.
Yeah, that is something that you have to have in the back of your mind, because a child has an incredible imagination. But audiobooks have taken off, and that's because I think people riding subways or traveling, commuting. I listen to them on the bus or at bedtime. But there, as you mentioned, there's sometimes, because it's an audiobook, people will get a hold of that book and then later on read the hard copy, because never before would they have ever picked up the hard copy, but because they got interested in it and that door was opened by the narrator, now you have something else.
And it works vice versa as well. I've had people read the book and then want to hear the characters come to life.
It's kind of like reading the book and then seeing the movie.
Yes.
That's kind of an idea.
Yeah. I don't like it when they say, I'm going to see the movie first. No, read the book first.
Yeah,
yeah. Wait till the book comes out, yeah.
Marie, a lot of people are not familiar with audiobooks, and if they are, they're familiar with the old-style audiobook when they were on cassette and they were just somebody reading real boring, drab, or even the reading of the Bible, you know.
Very dry stuff. Laundry
very list. Dry yeah. stuff. And recently, of course, with audio and all the technology, the Bible does come alive and other books come alive. And you have done that with this book. And, of course, the narration is different on both books. So obviously, the language, but also because you have different personalities and you reach different personalities of children and they get excited about the book. For somebody who says, I don't like to listen to audiobooks, or I don't have time to listen to audiobooks, you are offering them an opportunity to listen to this wonderful book. And as you mentioned, children's books are not very long. So it's not like if you download one that's 37 hours and 45 minutes and you stay awake for 2 days because you wouldn't want to miss the ending. Not realizing.
Oh, you have a long commute.
Yes, yes. So tell us about this Audible book.
Well, right now it's on Audible, of course, in English and Spanish, as we've mentioned. And Whoosh is, it's a 34-page children's picture book, but with just the text, it comes out to about 4 minutes of running time. And it's a wonderful way to dip a child's feet or your own feet into audiobooks without too much of a time commitment. And you might find that you enjoy it so much that you want to come back and look for more books that you are interested in. It really adds a whole new level of the storytelling versus traditional reading. And I do say storytelling because the narrator's performance has everything to do with how much you're going to enjoy it. So, yes, if you do happen upon maybe a lackluster narrator, you're not going to be as big as a fan. But if you can listen to one or two audiobooks where the narrator knocks it out of the park, you're going to want to keep exploring audiobooks. And today's production values are so much better than the old cassette audiobooks you might have heard where they're scratching in the background or bad sound quality. Sherry and I both recorded in a studio which meets all of ACX Audible's sound quality assurance. So you're going to get a high-quality experience listening to those kinds of audiobooks.
And you're giving our listeners an opportunity to sample this book.
Oh, absolutely, especially around Christmas time. We're happy to gift, and Hanukkah, we're happy to gift 10 copies of the English audio edition of Zwoosh and 10 copies of the Spanish audio edition of Zwoosh to your listeners. All they have to do is email me at indierosebooksforkids, and I'll spell that in a second, at gmail.com, and just mention this interview and KTAP, and we'll be happy to send them a gift copy of the Audible editions, whichever ones they prefer. And that's at indierosebooksforkids@gmail.com. Indie is spelled I-N-D-I-E, Rose Books, for the number 4, kids@gmail.com. Happy holidays.
That's a great opportunity. And when you listen to this book and your child is, it'd be a good idea to like Marie said, it's the holidays, and you can sit around with your family and be different. Instead of like the Waltons sitting around the radio, you can sit around and listen to this book together. And I think this also helps the child to read and join reading because they can listen to those sounds and children like to imitate.
And it will also help them work on their listening skills as well.
On their Spanish, correct?
In either language, yes.
You mentioned something earlier in the other interview, and we didn't touch upon it on this, the fact that the translation, because we live here on the border, we tend to do the
pocho.
Yeah, the pocho or the for why you throw rocks at my dog, he not do you something. It's interesting because we translate it literally. And you came across, and sometimes in Spanish there are words that we can't translate. So you came across something in the book that you had to kind of figure out what to do.
Well, in particular, it's the one section where it's very colorful. The artwork is very colorful, but the writing is also inclusive of many of the colors of the rainbow, because it's based on that rainbow. So the rainbow colors are in there. And when we came to the color of the pumpkin, it became a problem for me as a translator, because she talks about carving the jack-o'-lantern for Halloween. And neither jack-o'-lantern nor Halloween have Spanish translations. And so I had to sort of cope with that and decide, among other things, if I was going to try to say the day before the Day of the Dead, which is what Halloween actually means, and maybe just confuse the goodness out of every little kid who's trying to read that, and every parent as well. And then jack-o'-lantern simply would not translate. But we do know a jack-o'-lantern is a face carved into a pumpkin. That I could describe in Spanish. So I just had to kind of take a step back and go, all right, so pumpkin carving. Okay, we're good. Putting the faces in the pumpkins. That I could mention. And I ended up just leaving Halloween in English, because there is no translation for it that wouldn't be terribly cumbersome and awkward.
And Marie, as we're getting ready to wrap up this interview, and we want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, especially during this busy time. If you wouldn't mind giving us that information again, that email, so that our listeners can be prepared to contact you.
Of course. Just email me at indierosebooksforkids@gmail.com. And that's Indie Rose Books for Kids. That's the publishing shingle I created so that we could do more of these fun children's books. And I would be happy to gift you, one a person,
sure.
Up to 10 of the English and up to 10 of the Spanish editions of Audible of Zwoosh.
Now, as we mentioned earlier in the interview, people like to have the Kindle edition. They like to have the audio edition, but they also like to have the hardback edition so they can have in their libraries. Can you buy those also via Amazon, or do they go to your website?
Well, the on Amazon, we do have right now the English edition is paperback. Amazon doesn't publish in hardback. They publish it in paperback. So it is a paperback, but the illustrations are lush. It's a nice big old picture book. And then we're working on getting the Spanish physical book ready as well. But right now you can get it in both languages on Kindle. And it's got pop-up text so that if you're having a hard time reading it on a smaller device like an iPhone, but, you know, on your iPad or something, the book is available as an e-book, and then, of course, the Audible edition, too.
Marie Rose, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. Marie Rose is a UTEP alum. She's also the author of the book Swoosh and also the narrator of the book Swoosh. And I'm having fun doing this Swoosh. it's also available on Audible. And Sherry Lowell Lewis, one of my colleagues, one of the professors here in the communication department, she narrates the Spanish version of Swoosh. And so you want to go to Amazon or go to Audible and check that out. Thank you all very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Appreciate the opportunity. Really do. It's great to talk about this book. I love it.
El Paso Prime Time. We've been visiting with Marie Rose and Sherry Lowell Lewis.
Since Swoosh is available as an audiobook, we thought we'd take the time to give you two samples, one in English, one in Spanish. The first one read by the author, Marie Rose.
I'll tell you a secret thing no one else knows. I have a rocket ship made from the rainbow that shimmers outside my window after a thunderstorm. When the rainbow begins to glow, rumble, and shake, I climb on board and lift off. Zwoosh. I ride my rainbow into the black velvet of outer space. In the twinkle, twinkle starshine, I leave a trail that is all the colors of Saturn's rings. Red, like mommy's tulips that she grows just because they are my favorite. Orange, like the jack-o'-lantern I helped Daddy carve last Halloween. Yellow, like the lemonade I drink with my after-school cookies. Green, like the grass in my backyard, where I run barefoot, toes tickling, all summer long. Blue, the color of the robin's eggs I find every spring.
Here's a sample of the children's book Swoosh in Spanish, read by Sherry Lowell Lewis.
Te diré un secreto que nadie más lo sabe. Tengo un cohete hecho de un arco iris que brilla fuera de mi ventana después de una tormenta eléctrica. Cuando empieza a estar al rojo vivo, a retumbar y agitar, lo monto y se despegue. ¡Zush! Monto mi arco iris en el terciopelo negro del espacio sideral. Dentro del centelleo de las estrellas, dejo un rastro que pertenece a todos los colores de los anillos del Saturno. Rojos como los tulipanes que mi mami cultiva, no más porque son mis favoritos. Anaranjados como las caras de calabaza que le ayudan.
Special thanks to Deidre Westenhauser, who did the post-production on today's edition of El Paso Primetime, a production of KTEP. Thanks for listening. Louis Sines returns with his own show, Perspectives, coming up next. Have a great weekend.